All right, we're in Luke 8.
I've heard of people being in prison that have one or two scriptures. You know, it's just, man, the whole story is wrapped up in very few words.
Well, where are we?
Luke 8, 22 and 23, what we did yesterday.
We ended up on fell asleep because it was had the word it's hypno, and so we ended up discussing charming and hypnosis. The boat was filled with water. Filled is, it's simpleru. And I just want to look at two scriptures where that used, where that scripture is used, where that word is used. Go to Luke 9. In Luke 9, it's in verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And that he should be received up is this, it was this fulfill or filled. The time for him doing that was fulfilled. So that's the, it's the same word, simpleru. And then one more, Acts 2. This one is the basis of me finding out that the scriptures were, I mean, that Christ fulfilled all of the feast days. Acts 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." That means it, and again, it's this word, simpleru. And I knew that Passover had, for Christ, it was fulfilled. And then here we had, when the Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled, that's what got me on all of the other feasts, that they were fulfilled. It was a big excitement. And then I went, you know, I saw it was fulfilled at Tabernacles. It was fulfilled at when he was baptized. It was fulfilled when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Hanukkah, and it went on and on and on. And it was just like I just found the biggest treasure in the universe.
Yeah, it was like that for all of us too.
Well, there was a lot of resistance, if you remember.
Well, I remember for me it was like a treasure.
All right. Let's go to Jeremiah. See it one more time. It was used in the Septuagint. Jeremiah 25. Verse 12, "And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and the nation, saith the Lord, in their iniquity, in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation." Shall come to pass is translated by the Greeks when they did the Septuagint as the same word, simpleru, was fulfilled, when the 70 weeks of years were fulfilled. The same thing is true when it says it in Daniel. So, the same thing is true when Jesus said it. Let's go to one more. Mark chapter 1.
What's that fulfilled?
Done. Over. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 12. And immediately, this is right after the baptism. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. Time is fulfilled. Done. Filled up.
What was different before it was fulfilled? What's the difference between this time and this time?
It's always been fulfilled in eternity.
Right.
But it was fulfilled in time and space. That's what each of the feast days were fulfilled in time and space by Jesus Christ. They were fulfilled out of time in the mind of God all the time. Right, and everyone that saw him, when Abraham saw him and was glad, then it was
he saw
the fulfilled. Yeah. Everybody's, when you see in that day, in the day that you see, everything is fulfilled.
So this is one of the conundrums. It was fulfilled before it started because of God, but in time and space it had to be fulfilled as final witness or a
well,
there's some significance to that fulfillment.
Let's look at it from the standpoint of just Adam and Eve in the garden. When they were created, made with his hands, everything was fulfilled. Potentially, that was the bride for the was Christ and his bride in time. It was the only thing that wasn't fulfilled is to see whether or not the test were to be complete. The same is true in Abel. The same is true in Abraham. The same is true in Isaac. The same is true in all of the ones that saw.
Same is true in us.
Same as true as us. But again, it's only rebellion that causes it not to be fulfilled in us. Because it's already fulfilled in time and eternity.
So it's there to be apprehended.
Right. To be apprehended by.
Apprehended by.
The problem with understanding the soul mystery is the English language. We can't conceive that eternity is not a long, long time. It's no time. And therefore, we can't understand anything. We don't understand the feast. We don't understand the full finishedness. We don't understand when it says time is fulfilled. Because look, there's time still going on. But it's only going on because of our rebellion.
Isn't it kind of the difference between forever, which is a time word, and eternity, which is no time?
Right. All it forever means is as long as time lasts.
Yeah.
So when the rebellion is complete, time is no more. Or when the that's sort of a weird way of saying it. But when the obedience is complete, that's when the seventh angel stands and says, time is no more. Amen?
Yeah, this screams repentance.
Yeah, that's all. Repent, repent, repent.
Part of the same verse here, too.
All right, back to Luke. Verse, the last word in verse 23 is, the boat was filled with water and were in jeopardy. It It's kendaino, uo, kendaino. Means ultimate risk, ultimate danger. Let's look at some places. Let's go first to Acts 19. Let's see about jeopardy. There's been many times that I was in jeopardy and throughout my life. The two most dramatic were when I was electrocuted and then when I was held hostage. And both times I thought I was dead.
Were you pretty conscious while you're getting shocked? You didn't
lose consciousness? No, there was a moment where before I lost consciousness that was... The only thing I remember saying was, oh, shit. Not saying it, but thinking it.
Yeah. Oh, that much time, that much voltage.
All right. There's a guy named Demetrius, and he's causing trouble at Ephesus. Verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius... a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, bought no small gain unto the craftsmen. When he had called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying, that they be no gods which are made with hands. So not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius, Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Anyway, the word for jeopardy here is used in verse 27, and it's the word despised. It should be that our goddess, the great goddess, should be in jeopardy. But that's not what they were concerned about. They were concerned about they were losing their way of making a living. Now this is why, if you're truly a believer, you'll be hated of all men, because you will put at risk every form of commerce there is, because we have no truck with commerce. And anyone whose income is derived from anything other than faith, their income is in danger. If we really spoke the truth. Every financial institution. Everything. We need nothing. If you need nothing, then commerce can't take place. You can't be deceived. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. What would happen if everybody in the world stopped wanting? There would be no commerce. So this is a picture for us. Anybody get a handle on that?
Yeah. These guys were pissed. For me, it's like I swim in commerce that feels like I'm in the middle of
the point is never to have gain as your goal. If gain is your goal, then you're still in the middle of commerce. If meeting need is your goal, but that will be tested to see whether or not you sue an attorney. You understand? If gain is your goal, then you're saying, not by your words, but by your actions, that gain is godliness. Listen to this again. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger, but to be set at naught, but also that the temple should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." Now, I screwed up. In verse 27, the word danger is not, it's not the word despised, it's the word danger that is the word for jeopardy that we're studying, okay?
But you can sense how upsetting this had to be. Their whole lifestyle, everything they worked hard for, the whole society facing destruction.
I remember when I was on the radio a couple of times, I mean, I got just unbelievable letters because I said something about this general subject. But the biggest trouble was the idea that of what evangelism was and what church growth was. And I got some really bad letters and bad comments.
It's a long time ago.
Huh?
A long time ago.
Yeah, this is on the radio.
Yeah.
This is in the 70s. Anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 8.
That's why they marched around you in a circle.
No, that was another time. Let's start in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the word in verse 35, this word for jeopardy, is peril. That's what's translated peril there. But my point is, As long as you continue to lean on your own arm of understanding to walk in this world, then you will, these words will not mean anything. Because you haven't waited on Him to have, to be sure that you know, that you know, that you know that He is your only life, that you are dead. And that you have no concern, no worry about want or need or expectations. Not even about family. Then, in speaking, you will, it's not in speaking, by your life, you will be a sign and a wonder. We must always be in jeopardy. Every second. That's what faith is.
Is this the same as supplication?
Well, yeah, it's all of the words are really the same. It's the same thing. We just have 1,000 words to describe it.
But it's sound.
Yeah. No aces in the hole. No hidden. No options. That's where the zeal comes from. What? You're doing it, Tom. That's all you can do. But do it. Well, I mean, I can't tell you how to do it, but you'll know.
I think I know, but I mean, in my job search, I'm betting on my number one ace in the hole, which is that I have security clearance. I can't afford to even look for a job that doesn't require one. Is that an ace in the hole, or is that doing what's set for me to do? I don't know.
That's what it is.
I worry about it, but I mean, I was thinking about it for a second.
Yeah.
Now I figured
no, that's, I don't think.
I have an answer, so I'm not going to worry about it.
I don't think that's an ace in the hole. But anyway, if it is, Father, forgive me. You don't have to do anything about it. It's not you that does, it's He. You only repent. But you must repent when you see something. You can't say, well, I'm going to continue doing this until God hits me on the head or something. Then you're saying, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. There's no excuse for anyone in this community not to walk in constant repentance. Because you've heard. Again, repentance isn't repentance if it doesn't produce joy. Okay, we got a couple more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Start in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept or died. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith he all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. That means everything is under him except God. And when all things shall be so subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour, in danger of martyrdom? Now, being baptized for the dead was an idiom for martyrdom. It's not you run around and baptize people it was an idiom for martyrdom. But the point is, and it was an idiom for martyrdom, and so that's why he's saying, and why stand we in jeopardy of this martyrdom every hour? Now, there's never been a time in history when his people should not be more in jeopardy. Because his people are now so inured to the world system, you can't tell the difference. Then why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Is that history? Is that talking about Paul? Or is that where we should be? I believe it's where each of us should be. Stand in jeopardy every hour. You're in jeopardy because you have no more governor. You say what's there at all times. You have no more need. You have no more want. So you're a sign and a wonder. You're always in jeopardy. You're in jeopardy. I'm in jeopardy every time I open my mouth because everybody might leave. I kiddingly say that I want everybody to leave, but that's not the truth. I may try to get you to leave, but it's only the test. It'd break my heart if everybody left. But everybody left Paul 3 times. Everybody. Jeopardy is the word. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? If you're not in jeopardy, you haven't pushed the limit. Any response?
I don't know what the why is. Why is it that way?
Why?
Yeah, it asks the question, what's the answer? Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour?
Because that's what faith is.
The answer is,
why are people martyred of your hour? In the previous sentence, why are people martyred?
Well, I assume that's rhetorical, too. It doesn't have a good reason.
Well, no. Put all things under him that God may be all in all. Else why? What shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? Why are they in jeopardy?
As an example to the people who are going to follow.
Right. The point of it is that it's the only answer to the question of what faith is.
That's what's required.
If faith and repentance and supplication and all these things, which are all the same thing. Do you understand? But every one of them put you in jeopardy every hour. That's what it said. Amen? Take a big guy. We got one more to do. But we'll do it whenever we meet again, if we meet.
Are we meeting Monday? Are we meeting Monday?
Oh, the letter's not open. I mean, I wouldn't think we'd meet.
It's all right with me. I'll forget, though. I'll come in and get mad at everybody again.
Okay.
It's just sort of like a... It's just like sort of a...
You do that all the time, and nobody cares whether you get mad.
All righty. How much?
You put together a little Christmas video.
I owe you $2.
And
I'm
one of the last pictures of the video. It's a,
what I was going to ask, though, is I can do one of two things. I can put it cooked or I put warm. Or I can leave it ready to go in the oven to be right on time and leave
and
it
ready.
And
that's one of the last shots.
Cool.
And it will taste better if I do it that way.
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Okay. I'm going to prepare it. I'm going to put foil on the top of it. And I'm going to put it in there with the instructions on the top. 350 degrees, 35 minutes, it should be fine.
Great. Oh, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
And again, Gary escaped.
I need a couple of meetings.
And Mr. Bojo is excused because he's going to wherever he's going. Set them on, when you get, Phil, set them on the table until we get all set up in there. No, you can set them there for now, the ones that just enough. But, okay.
Hey,
grab your bowl too in case you wanted to have more. Saturday brunch on Saturday?
No, not tomorrow, no, because everybody's getting ready for Christmas.
For Christmas. I just wanted to make sure I wouldn't.
You didn't get my
email? I probably did and I forgot.
You ignored it?
No, I didn't ignore it, but I probably forgot it.
If you didn't get it, let us know because, you know, we can fix that.
Yeah, I did get it. I know I got it because I remember reading about Mondays off. I fixed his thing for him. Did I tell you I fixed it?
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah, okay. Well, I used his own rules so that it won't be dumped somewhere. He'll have to do it manually if he wants to dump it.
Two more, Pete.
And those have been cleaned or set back?
No, they haven't been cleaned.
Okay.
Where? find it with this little machine.
Yeah. You'll bury it to the ground.
Yeah. You're getting better. You're only 3 feet from the curb.
I know. I have a fixed curb with age.
Sue?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We get together at 1, and you have the extra mushrooms.
Yeah.
Did you give me a rough estimate? Is there like a one package worth?
You're probably get half the package.
But it's in a big package.
Yeah.
So which would be at 1 normal small package worth?
It's the one I always buy for.
Yeah, so it's a 16, it's a like 16 ounce, so it's a half of that would be 8 ounces.
About that.
Okay.
So
that's
right.
What I need about a minimum of 8 ounces.
Minimum of 8 ounces. We're gonna probably suck the bird.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Another one's gonna actually use some money to actually pick up some.
Did Keith go back to Austin? Did Keith go back to Austin?
Yeah, he went back to Austin, but he's coming back today.
Oh. Thank you.
please.